This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Welcome to another hour of What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. And hey, we can't thank you enough for that. That's right, a little bit of gratitude here today on the program. Hashtag gratitude. We'll do our own hashtag deal right there. Hashtag equal pay. Hashtag we want equal pay for talk shows. What Rush Limbaugh gets, I think I should get. It's only fair. Really, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Does that mean I get what you get? Because that seems fair, too.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, let's just be fair.
I'm here.
Let's be more fair. So we're all about being fair here on the program. We call What's On Your Mind.
Kevin and I are being paid what Snurly gets paid then, right?
Is there, I guess so. Exactly right. And I'm thinking Snurly, since he drives a Maybach, you know, might do okay. I don't know. Anyway, another hour of the program. We call What's On Your Mind. And we are brought to you this hour by one of our fine sponsors, Oasis Petroleum. You know the good folks at Oasis Petroleum? Have built quite the company. It's quite the story if you look into it, because these are folks with a lot of industry experience, but Oasis Petroleum as a company is relatively new. And, of course, they start the company, things going pretty good, and then, voila, the bottom falls out of oil prices, and you have quite the challenging time in oil prices. And what they do, they just ran into the storm. They just became the buffalo, and that's the theme of the company now, be the buffalo. And you know what? There's a lot of that in North Dakota, that be the buffalo spirit. And we see it every day in teachers. We see it in law enforcement officials. We see it in folks in every walk of life everywhere. When you see it, will you say something about it? Will you say, you know what, that person, they do all the time. They're there. They're volunteering. They're doing every community event. Never get any attention. Never get any thank yous. I'm going to make sure I thank them. And maybe that's the person you want to bring forward to thank. Simple as a phone call to the Beat the Buffalo hotline from Oasis Petroleum. The number is 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776, extension 6. And be listening later this summer when we begin our effort to recognize those among us in North Dakota that have that Be the Buffalo spirit. Okay. I'm going to take one call, and then I'm going to introduce our guests, and we're going to talk a little bit about the effort to legalize marijuana in North Dakota, round two. It'll be coming up. They'll be gathering signatures soon, and if they get enough, they'll be on the ballot in November of 2020. Carl in Michigan, first up, though, you're on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I am calling in about the e-sports that's going on with some of the different colleges. I'm not sure I quite understand that. I'm trying to whether or not that is just, you know, like a gaming group that is facilitated by the different colleges. That's what I'm sort of assuming, but you know, as a taxpayer, I'm not a taxpayer in North Dakota, but as a taxpayer, I'd probably be a little bit bothered by the fact that colleges are paying for sort of thing. But what I would not, as a taxpayer, be bothered about is, say, like military recruiters and whatnot using it as a recruiting tool, as sort of a means of getting in and talking to people. And more and more, it's becoming sort of a military-related thing anyway. Not e-gaming necessarily, but certainly IT and cyber and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and now there you're onto something, because there you're taking a skill and translating it into, teaching, kids. Now, I don't know how much of, gaming is going to translate into, a useful skill for a career. Maybe if you're building the game, not actually playing the game, I don't know. But just so you know, what we're talking about here is high schools, Mandan, Grand Forks. One of about 14 high schools, Mandan and Grand Forks are the largest of them. Williston, as well, and then a number of the smaller schools, Red River and Grand Forks, Central Cass, Dakota Prairie, Drayton, Hillsboro, Larimore, Mandan, Minnewaukan, Grand Forks, Central High, Northern Cass, Northwood, Red River, Rugby, West Hope, and Williston. Separately from that, there evidently is an effort to do something similar in college. University of Jamestown started teams in 2017. They have scholarships at the University of Jamestown for this, ranging from $200 to $2,500. And they're now encouraging some other schools. Bismarck is one, and I'm trying to remember the other that is going to be participating in that and jumping on board, too. So it is a high school thing, and that's new, and it's also a college thing.
Okay. Well, it's sort of an interesting thing. I guess that would not be where I would want to spend my tax dollars, but, you know, if it's used right and it's used as a means of introducing students to, anything, whether it's military or, businesses that are using that kind of talent or, cybersecurity or anything like that, that might be a great way of introducing them.
Yeah, I hear you, to make it a little more constructive. I appreciate the call, Carl. By the way, the other college I couldn't think of was Dickinson. Dickinson State, Bismarck State, joining the University of Jamestown in doing this as well. And the athletic director at Grand Forks Schools is encouraging these others, reaching out to the other schools and looking at doing it. The best defense I can see for this in the article in today's Bismarck Tribune, these kids are going to game anyways. If you can get kids to play video games in your school, it's far better for everybody.
Does the scholarship include mom making them dinner while they're competing?
I don't know.
Competing?
I don't know how that'll work.
You know, just that.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah. Mother!
Hope there's some there. But we're not done with that story. We'll continue to follow that, but I just thought that was interesting today, and I appreciate the calls. All right, in studio with us to talk about an issue that has been in the news a fair amount, was on the last ballot in North Dakota. If there are enough signatures gathered, will be on the next ballot. David Owen, chair of Legalize ND, is back with us on What's on Your Mind to talk about this endeavor. David, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, Scott?
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in studio to chit-chat today. We talked last during the debate over the question for the voters of North Dakota last go-around. That fell short. Let's start there. Why do you think it fell short? What happened last time?
So people had three fundamental concerns about the last measure. The first concern was that it was fairly open-ended, and it was going to have to go to the legislature for them to regulate it. They were concerned. They wanted to know exactly what they were voting for. It was a lack of trust in the people in Bismarck. They're like, we've seen this with the medical. We pass something, and then it becomes a mess down the line. We want to know exactly what we're voting on. So that was issue number one. The issue number two was there were some things that people thought were unclear. For example, driving while high, people were concerned about. There were concerns about children getting access to it. Just general concerns about, I'll call it, health and safety. And the third concern was the lack of revenue that the bill would generate and the lack of controls that people thought were reasonable. People didn't think it was reasonable that someone should home grow or that someone should be allowed to have very large quantities on their person. So I think there were three tiers. The first was ambiguity, the second was public safety, and the third was some concerns with implementation. And we've taken steps to address all three of those.
Okay, so what will be different about what will be asked of voters this go-around?
So the first difference is it's now a 44-page bill, so all of the regulatory structure is completely laid out in the bill. You can read it on the website at legalizend2020.com. It creates specific regulations. It creates a plain packaging law so that you can't market towards children, and this flows into the safety portion. We make it very clear that driving while high will not be legal. You cannot do open container of it. If you have more than an ounce, you'll have to keep it under lock and key. So basically, there should be no reasonable way that a child gets this or that it's marketed to children. Also, we'll make sure that basically you don't have people driving high or smoking in public and all those things, and it's expressly stated in the bill, and you can point to it. The third thing is we're getting rid of homegrown. We're allowing local municipalities to say no thanks in terms of having a dispensary in their location. Because let's take the town of Manville. Maybe they want a dispensary in their town, but maybe the town of Gackle doesn't. So Gackle can say, you know what, I don't mind Fargo or Forks or Bismarck having a dispensary, but no thanks for my town. And we're allowing people to do that this time. So we're making it very clear there's a local level of control.
There was a concern last time that there were no limits to what somebody could grow, for instance. I don't know that I specifically heard you address that, but has that been addressed in this?
So no one will be able to grow without a permit expressly allowing them to grow, so there is no home grow. In terms of possession limits, you can buy from the dispensary up to, I believe, 2 ounces and have that with you. However, once it gets to the home, it must be placed under lock and key, so long as your total amount is greater than 1 ounce.
So that's new, because that was one of the criticisms, right? You could just have as much as you want. There was no limit to how much you could have.
Yes, that's completely new.
Yeah. And you're saying the 44-page part of this means you're actually writing what you believe would end up being in the state statute then?
Well, when you pass the ballot initiative, you are amending the state statute. So instead of saying the legislature shall establish rules, as an example, which is basically what Measure 3 said, we have written the rules ourselves.
So, in your mind, you don't have the criticism that would come from somebody that's going to interpret it and say, well, we think this is what will happen, because you've got it in black and white.
Yeah, there should be no ambiguity in this bill.
Got it. Questions or comments for our guest, David Ohner, certainly welcome here on the program. They'll be back with another bite at the apple with voters to legalize marijuana in North Dakota. We'll talk about that when we continue on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Joe Morkin of Castleton. The North Dakota Soybean Council is excited to offer our Market Outlook Seminar for soybeans. This one-day program will give soybean producers a mid-season look at the soybean markets and discuss marketing strategies prior to harvest. Dr. Bill Wilson and Dr. Frank Olson will discuss how the season is progressing, the South American crop, world demand, and walk producers through marketing strategies and risk management options for the 2019 soybean harvest. This seminar will be held July 25th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 2 locations, NDSU's Commodity Trading Room at Berry Hall in Fargo, and Bismarck State College Campus in Bismarck. Both courses will be facilitated by noted professors Dr. Wilson and Dr. Olson of NDSU. The seminar is free for North Dakota soybean producers, but seating is limited, and registrations are accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. Be sure to register online by July 17th at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources. Fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
You get the smoothest, most responsive windrower handling ever with the new Speed Rower SP Windrowers from New Holland. Your local Northern Region New Holland dealer will tell you that it starts with precise hydraulically controlled steering. Combine that with the Comfort Ride cab suspension and the patented independent rear axle suspension, and you can increase your speed and efficiency even on uneven terrain. That's smart. See your local Northern Region New Holland dealer about the smooth, responsive handling of a Speed Rower SP Windrower from New Holland.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
What's on your mind? 20 past the hour. Don't forget, we'll be at the North Dakota State Fair broadcasting live Monday, July 22nd, through Friday, July 22nd. We'll be at the Dakota Talent Stage giving away tickets to concerts, bull riding, ranch rodeo all during the show. And you can stop by and get registered for a splash pool from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. They're going to be there. We'll have a winner drawn on Friday, July 26th, so come on by and get registered. Lots of reasons to go to the fair right there. All right, we continue with more of our conversation in just a moment with our guest from Legalize ND, David Owen. If you have a question or comment for him about this effort, let us know at 800-228-0550. A couple of texters here. Listen to your show every morning or catch a replay in the evening. Love it. Keep up the great work. But you put that pot smoker on this morning. I'll be looking for a women's soccer game to listen to instead. We need more pot smokers like we need more Democrats in North Dakota. Does not make sense for our lovable state. I don't know who they're talking about, David. Do you know who they're talking about?
I think they think I smoke. I don't.
Signed the pastor from Footloose.
Just fast. Flashback there, yeah.
No dancing in here!
No dancing in here. Go ahead, David, and finish. Sorry for the interruption from the fellas. So,
I actually think that points out something. A lot of people seem to think that marijuana users are basically scourge on society. That's what people think. And that's not the reality. There are lawyers, there are doctors. If you look at Colorado, which has had legalization, their economy's through the roof, Scott. Unemployment's at record lows. You haven't seen any real increase in crime. I mean, they're doing great. I don't think legalization creates this huge culture of decay. I think if we look at the states that legalize, we see either things continue ticking along or move better. And the proof is in the pudding. Go 100 miles north of Grand Forks to Canada. Go to Winnipeg. And tell me that Winnipeg is much different than it was 5 years ago. And Winnipeg, as did Canada, legalized recently. So if you're concerned about the impact it'll have, you can just drive to Canada and see. There's been no real change.
You know, I would love to have a standard to evaluate properly the statistics that allow us to say, okay, here is Denver before, here's Denver after. Because I've seen, you know, all kinds of analysis. Pete Sessions is a friend of mine. He's a former member of Congress from Texas. And this was kind of his issue. He went and went town by town on all the same set of criteria and said, you know, very different. One stat that comes to mind was absentee, you know, rates at work were measurably different, considerably different after legalization than before. I don't know how you go about judging that, but I've heard the same thing about traffic stops and other things as well. So, I don't, you know, when you're saying, hey, you can't find a city that's different.
So there's three ways to aggregate data, okay? Let's get that out of the way. There's raw, there's per capita, and then there's index to the rest of the United States. Raw is exactly what it sounds like. If there's two murders year one and three murders year two, it went up. Index to population is, okay, well, the population increased, doubled, so the murder rate went from 2 to 1.5 because the population doubled. So your rate per capita went down. The third way to do it is, well, how did it perform relative to the rest of the country? So if the rest of the country fell 10% and you only fell 5%, you're worse off, is the argument. When you do the per capita and index to the rest of the country, the statistics look markedly better. That is to say that for each person that's living in Colorado now, things are better off than they were before on a per capita basis. They're also outperforming the nation. But if you look at Colorado, they had a huge population spike. So if you look at the raw numbers, they're obviously going to be higher because you have more people. The analogy,
so you think, for instance, the absentee rate, because there were more people, just more people that like to sleep in, moved to Colorado, and so that's why it spiked. It had nothing to do with legalization of marijuana?
The absentee rate per 100,000 stayed the same and was slightly lower. The raw absentee rate rose because there were more people. So if your rate is 10 per 100,000, and you have an additional 100,000 people, it's going to go from 10 to 11.
So is it your contention that nothing changes? That if there's legalization of marijuana, that the average person that goes about their life that maybe wants nothing to do with marijuana is not going to notice any difference?
Well, I think some things change that are positive. Your schools have more money and better funding. You tend to see people no longer going to jail, and we don't have to spend $50,000 an inmate. I think you see kids no longer getting a criminal record and losing their ability to get access to student loans, so they have better employment prospects for the future. I think you see a lot of things that change. I think they're positive, though, that change. I don't see crime rates going up. I don't see mass migration and hysteria. What I see is I see the positives of legalization, the positives of ending prohibition.
And you know, all I will say is, you know, a limited experience with the being in communities where this is happening, but New York City is one where the, you know, the candies and the different things are available, and they allow them to be in, sold out of, like, they look like food trucks.
Yeah.
They're food trucks, and they're everywhere. And they attract a certain element of people that are not exactly, you know, the kind of people you want to interact with when you're walking down the street in New York City. And I've gone to New York City for decades. Love the place. New York City is not the kind of place it used to be as a result of that. That's one example. And you hear the same about Denver.
That's a good point, and that's why our bill doesn't allow delivery of marijuana to people. It doesn't allow a delivery system. Our bill doesn't allow candies to be sold unless they're in plain packaging.
How did Denver do it? How did Colorado do it?
Colorado did it by a straight constitutional amendment that said you have a guaranteed right to marijuana.
No, I'm saying, though, how did they sell it? Did they do it that way where it was on the street or in, was a dispensary? Or
in Colorado, since you have a constitutional right to marijuana, it becomes very hard to regulate.
I see. You're doing it differently.
Yes, we're not doing a constitutional amendment because of those problems. And that's a place where we learned. You don't do that.
Calls, welcome for David. Ken in Moorhead has one. Go ahead, Ken. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Yeah, I just have one question. How will, let's say, buzzed or driving high be enforced?
So there's really three fundamental ways you can choose to do it, and here's the one we recommend. We recommend officer field impairment. I trust the police. I like the police in North Dakota. They do a great job. If a police officer thinks you're impaired, as far as I'm concerned, go straight to the station. We'll deal with the details when you get there. What people forget is when you do a breathalyzer in the field, if you've ever gotten a DUI, I haven't, but I know people that have, that test isn't binding. That test then allows you to go to the station where they do the blood test to confirm the blood alcohol level and confirm whether or not you are over the limit. That means that you can reasonably apply the same standard to marijuana. What you do is, does the officer believe they're impaired, does a field sobriety test, and if he believes they're impaired beyond reasonable belief, he takes them to the station. They get a blood test, and if it shows up that they had marijuana in their system, boom, driving while high, end of argument.
Now, this is a change on the new petition you have out based on what lost, right? Because some people argue the last one, there wouldn't be a penalty for driving under the influence of marijuana.
I think that argument last time was quite honestly false. I think people were reading something that wasn't there. But we've made it very, very clear on this one that driving while hot, this will not change the driving while impaired statute.
Gotcha.
We've also made it so that having open marijuana while in a vehicle is an additional fine, similar to how you can't have an open can of beer in your car even if you're not drunk. Same thing will apply to marijuana, and we've added that language to be crystal clear.
That's new in this one as well.
Yes.
Got it. Let's see here. Art and Kildare, let's try and get your question in. At least go ahead, Art.
Hi, good morning. Say, this guy is unbelievable. The first child that gets backed over by a stone drive happen. Erase it. Yeah, this guy should be knocked off the air. Ish. What a low human.
I didn't hear all of what you said, but I guess we got enough for you to respond. We'll do it on the other side of the break. Something about somebody being backed over.
His concern was a child getting hurt by a stone driver.
All right, we'll deal with that when we come back. Karen Fargo has a question, too. Robert Pick City, Ed and Bismarck. Questions, welcome to 258-0550.
Ethanol is very important to North Dakota agriculture. And it's important to Castleton, North Dakota. Morgan Fornes, superintendent of Central Cal Schools, tells us how important the Carlson Ethanol plant is to Castleton and the region.
Well, we certainly couldn't have done what we needed and what happened here in the last 2 years without the ethanol plant. Now, not only are they a great, you know, taxpaying entity for the community, but the investment in creating a vibrant economy here locally in the city of Castleton and actually regionally with the agricultural community is second to none.
That tax base has expanded the school for 21st century learning, plus a beautiful new athletic facility. But the impacts are community-wide.
The businesses in any community is vital to the success of a community, and the ethanol plant is just a great example of that. Not only the economic power that they bring to the community, but job creation, tax-paying entity, everything along those lines.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Well, I'm pleased to announce today the formation of a commission on inalienable rights.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just announcing the formation of a bipartisan commission on international human rights, speaking at the State Department moments ago.
The commission is composed of human rights experts, philosophers, and activists, Republicans, Democrats, and independents of varied backgrounds and beliefs who will provide me with advice on human rights.
Federal prosecutors in New York announcing sex trafficking and conspiracy charges against politically connected billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. Court documents just released reveal that Epstein's charged with creating a network allowing him to sexually exploit and abuse dozens of underage girls. In fact, he's accused of sexually assaulting more than 30 girls in Palm Beach, Florida, and New York. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Your Mind is powered by SchwanBuickGMC.com, that proud new 80-foot flagpole there. You know, the red, white, and blue sales going on through June, but there just might be a flag left for you to having celebrated this month of independence. Stop by at SchwanBuickGMC.com or SchwanBuickGMC Cadillac on the Strip.
28 before the top of the hour, we're continuing our conversation now with David Owen, who is the chair of Legalize ND. This was a hotly contested issue on the ballot in the last go-around of the election, and it's back. It'll be on the November 2020 election as well, presidential election. That'll mean high turnout, and it has been adjusted and reformed from the last go-around to address some of the issues that came up with it. So now the question is, are those changes enough to get this thing across the finish line? We continue now with David. David, so before the break, we had somebody call and best we could hear him say, you know, first time somebody runs over somebody that's under the influence, then we ought to come for you. You know, obviously doesn't like the idea at all and doesn't have a very high opinion of you being in favor of this. Respond?
So first off, we don't support driving while high. I don't think driving while high should be legal. I think there should be strict consequences. On the other hand, I acknowledge that it's already happening. And it's already happening in a way that's much more difficult to punish. Because when you have an illicit market, you have people that tend to do it in such a way, and they don't care about the consequences. When the criminal consequences of marijuana possession were literally 30 days in jail, which were basically the same as driving under the influence, there's no incentive structure to not drive under the influence. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to get a 30-day misdemeanor, it doesn't penalize you to get the same 30-day misdemeanor and serve them concurrently, which is how the law would treat it. Under legalization, we create an incentive to not drive under the influence by removing the criminal penalty associated with possession and allowing you to legally possess and consume. Furthermore, there is an aspect of individual responsibility here. People drive drunk all the time, and we don't say, well, let's ban alcohol, do we? I don't think a rational person goes, okay, someone drove drunk and hit a family of four, God forbid, let's ban alcohol. You don't say that. Because there is a level of personal responsibility and individual freedom. I think it was Eisenhower that said, the only place where you can truly be safe and secure is a prison. So we do have to look at this as an individual freedom and personal liberty issue.
What do you say to the eons of information out there related to the effect this has on people? You know, that you know, we had a guest not long ago that was Hillsdale College speaker, and he had some amazing statistics on marijuana use young and the difference that made and the things that, you know, more incidents of bipolar as a result of it and all these mental health issues that come as a result of it. And, you know, I know people argue these things and say, well, on one hand, you know, it affects you very little, and this person says something different. But you've heard these before. What do you say to people that have statistics and studies that show this has a detrimental effect on someone's health?
So, one, you're not getting all the studies. The one of the studies that shows a huge positive effect that nobody talks about was a study that showed the legalization of recreational marijuana decreased opioid abuse and overdose by 25%. That's hosted on NIH.gov under their PubMed thing.
By the way, I've heard that, and I think that, you know, to the extent that is real, is a positive.
Yes.
But the vast majority of this audience is not addicted to opioids.
Well,
they don't have that problem. They know it's out there, and they know that that we want to use every bit of treatment we can with somebody who is, so they can be better. But I don't think that's an argument to legalize it for the general population.
So I'll address the second concern now, which is this study that was published, I believe, 6 months ago, is I think the one you're referencing. And it was a meta-study of self-reported users who were later in life who had manifested these psychological conditions. The problem is, if you think about medical marijuana, what is it primarily designed to treat? Primarily designed to treat and marketed to treat depression, anxiety disorders, bipolar disorder, PTSD. We know it works for PTSD. So it's primarily designed to treat mental health issues. So did this person try marijuana because they were already suffering from mental health issues? Or did they use the marijuana and then develop the mental health issues? I'm in the camp of it was someone who already had mental health issues who tried medical marijuana, and it unfortunately was not as effective for them as they would like. Because, again, look at what medical marijuana is marketed to treat, primarily neurological disorders, seizures, neurological disorder. I think we can all agree. Depression, neurological disorder, we can agree. Anxiety, PTSD. When you have a substance that is designed to treat those issues, that's like saying that 90% of people on Valium have depression. Duh. That's why they're using Valium. And I don't think Valium is used that way anymore. I think it's a lithium base now, but you get the point.
Your point is the subset of people that they use this on already had the issues. That's why they use marijuana. And now that they have those later in life isn't because of marijuana. It's because they had that issue to begin with.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. Let's go to who's waited the longest here? I guess Ed in Bismarck. Ed, go ahead. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Hi. I'm not calling about the marijuana, even though I don't believe we should legalize it. But I'm calling about the e-sports. And
yes.
The fact is, as a father of two young men who were avid players on the e-games, you know, they turned out pretty darn good and actually have quite a bit of talent for doing things other than just that because of playing. But the one thing that a couple things that I wanted to kind of bring out, and you talk about it often, what are two of the main studies that are done up at UND that are primary studies groups for, what do people go to school for at UND? Medical?
Well, medical should be one thing, yeah. Law school would be another.
Aviation.
Aviation's a big one,
aviation.
Obviously. Yeah, business school, yeah.
Right. So medical
engineering.
And aviation. Engineering is one, too, that can be using this. But medical, have you heard of the Da Vinci remote-controlled operating tool that you don't actually touch the patient?
Yeah, they're using it now. I think it's Stanford.
All about, right. It's been at St. A's and Stanford and all over. But that's all the same technique as doing this gaming. I mean, it really truly is. And the drone, I mean, my son was so good at playing on those games, I asked him to please think about going into the aviation important.
So yeah, so you see value. You see value in it, Ed. Do you think also that the socialization? So you know, there's 10 people on a team in a room together playing another team provides some benefit, whereas otherwise they're just playing it alone in their bedroom or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call. Did you want to weigh in on that, David? I know we have you here to talk about something else, but I do have one texter that has connected the dots here between these two topics. Maybe we should have a high school pot smoking circuit too, because they're going to do it anyway, so it might as well be at school. So somebody has found a way to connect these two topics. So there you go. You can.
So I don't think minors should be smoking marijuana. Period. I don't think if you're under 21, you should be doing this. Period. In a perfect world, I don't really think that basically it's something that anyone should be doing regularly unless they're medically ill. I do recognize, however, that it's not harmful, and as a result, it shouldn't be prohibited. It's an individual freedom and personal liberty choice to me. On the video game thing, I think the biggest benefit that people don't talk about is we as a society are increasingly becoming an online society. We don't interact anymore face-to-face. People want to send a message over text message rather than a phone call. I think you see this more than I do.
You email people in the office that are office away, you know.
But I think that a huge benefit of this is the socialization aspect, and I don't think people focus on that enough because we have a lot of brilliant people in this country who have no social skills because they've spent their life ticking away in front of a computer, and they don't know how to translate that to sitting here talking to you.
I think that's a good point. Texter says, esports. Wow. Would they give Cheech and Chong an agriculture scholarship? See, they won't stop. Texter says, University of Jamestown has a four-year esports program for the last 3 to 4 years, full scholarships. We did mention that. Here's a note. Top esport players make millions of dollars. Korea sells out football-sized crowds. Wow. Top 100 highest overall earnings, esports player rankings. Somebody sent us a list here. And another texter says, how is this any different from chess? All right, now here's another text. Think your guest needs to repeat that he does not smoke pot and never has.
Yeah, I don't smoke pot, never will, don't intend on it. It's an individual freedom issue for me. If you don't believe me, feel free to pay for a hair test. I'll do a hair test on the show if you want, Scott.
A hair test, a live hair test. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll do that next time you're on. Yeah. There we go. Yes to the pastor from Footloose reference, made my Monday. Ha ha. There you go, Kevin. You got a big fan out there.
I do what I can.
Yes. Another texter. You cannot tell me people are going to follow the rules explained here. Children will get their hands on it. How do you possibly expect to enforce any of these rules? Get real.
How do we enforce the current rules? I mean, if the argument is that the parent is so irresponsible that they are letting their child be exposed to marijuana, as in they're letting a young child get into it, what's the current penalty? We have current laws designed to stop that. So if this person is so irresponsible that they don't follow those current laws, then nothing will change. The difference is we now have the ability to focus on them rather than the guy, the individual user. It creates a tiered system that allows us to focus on who the real problem is. And the real problem is, i.e., people that let underage individuals get access to it, or it's people that drive high, or it's people that cause problems for society. The mere act of smoking marijuana is not a problem for society. It's the things that people do along with it. And those people are very isolated. It's a very rare occurrence, but we need to be able to focus on them.
Dwayne and Bismarck, go ahead. You're up.
Okay, I've got some personal experience with this, and I strongly disagree with your guest. First of all, I have a sister that became a very heavy marijuana user when she was in her teens. She eventually died of a heroin overdose when she was in her 40s. I have two nephews that smoke marijuana heavily. They both committed suicide. I have a daughter that started smoking marijuana. Eventually she switched to meth, and now she loves marijuana and meth. So I strongly disagree with the user. Now, if we're going to make it legal and it's personal freedom, then I don't think the rest of us should have to pay for disability and for all the other expenses that the government has to incur because we have people that are misusing their bodies by smoking marijuana. So we should not allow...
Hang on a sec, Dwayne, if you would. Don't go away. Don't go away. We'll talk more after
that. Need an escape? No, not a vacation. An escape from your basement. Here at Precision Concrete Cutters, we specialize in egress window installation and replacement. So not only do we provide you an escape from your basement, we provide you with sunlight into that dark, dreary space to make you feel like you're on vacation. Okay, maybe not. but you will relax knowing you have a safe way out. For more information on egress windows, go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
What's it like to live the good life in Watford City? We're asking Karen George.
It's not every day somebody buys a house, and buying a house is a big deal and a big decision. And when you can help someone who came from nothing, who didn't have great credit, and now they've got great jobs and they're making great money, and you can help them see that, look, you could actually have the American dream. You could own a home. That's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal. And it's so good to be part of that.
Learn more at voicesofwatford.com.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th.
I love Toby Mac stuff.
Yeah,
awesome. A great lineup of artists here. People that have heard of Mark Lee from Third Day, Jackie Velasquez, J.J. Weeks, Torrin Lowe. There's a lot of really good artists here. How big is this problem of human trafficking here in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo?
As a subsidiary of Thrive Fest, Rising Hope Foundation is building homes to rescue individuals who've been caught in that. And so it's a growing, massive problem right under our noses.
Michael, your work with the Fargo PD, I'm sure you come in contact with individuals that are caught in this.
Yeah, it's something we see, and it's a problem that people are still looking for a solution to. Not just raising awareness, but bringing true solutions to stopping this so we don't have to have shelters for young victims, older victims, and we don't have to keep having campaigns where we're trying to raise awareness on such an evil problem.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th at the North Dakota Horse Park. The number is 612-554-4804.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The hour, let's have you mind our final segment brought to you today by High Plains Apache, the farmer's best friend, that sprayer. Boy, oh boy, what a workhorse. In the field when you need it, going morning, noon, and night. And the folks at High Plains Apache remind you, there's nothing like an Apache sprayer. And nobody knows spray application like the team at High Plains Apache. They have 2019s in still. The 40 Series is great, new look, new features. Financing and leasing available. Use sprayer still on hand. Call them in Mandan, 663-2375 across from Culver's. Exit 60 south of Fargo, I-29 in Frontier, or online anytime at highplainsapache.com. Continue our conversation with David Owen. David represents a Legalize ND. They brought a petition forward in a question before North Dakota voters that failed. They have retooled that effort and right now are in the process of getting the petition signed off on by sponsors and ultimately then to the Secretary of State and then to gather signatures and get it on the ballot again November of 2020. So we're taking your questions for David Owen. Dwayne and Bismarck, I just wanted to finish with you because we were running up against the break, and obviously you got a heartbreaking situation you've shared with us. I assume, you know, you hear about marijuana as a gateway drug, and you're making the case that that's what happened to your daughters, correct? That they started with marijuana and escalated into these others?
Well, my daughter, my sister, my nephews, and I have at least a dozen cousins that have had similar problems, and many, 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 many friends that I know that have had issues. And it all started with marijuana. Now, I used to teach drug testing for different various companies and had to take a lot of classes. Unfortunately, the effects of smoking marijuana don't show up until much later. And if it's used before the age of 18, especially, it has a serious effect on mental health of the people that used it. So, now, if we are going to say that we're going to have it legalized, we know that youngsters are going to get it, all right? Well, then let's have a law that says that anybody that sells it to a youngster is executed. That would maybe slow that problem down. Personal freedom has nothing to do with a society where government is paying for welfare and all the other things that are going on in our country. You can go to any welfare center, anybody that's on disability, and if you drug test it, I dare say you would find 95% of them were marijuana users. Now, there is a good side to it. There is something about the health issue and the medicinal use. That's a whole different story. That's people not getting high. That's just no different than any other drug that would be used. And I don't have any problems with that. But I think that should be administered by a pill, by a doctor that knows what they're doing. As an example, I'm a heart transplant recipient, and I had to go through a lot of testing, and they flat out told me that if I was ever tested positive for using marijuana, they would stop treating me. So there has to be some negative effects of using this drug. So I completely disagree with this guest of yours who doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, because apparently he's never had the personal experiences that I have, or thousands and thousands and thousands of other people across the country have had.
Dwayne, thank you for sharing your story. Appreciate that very much. And hard to argue in your case that it's anecdotal when you talk about the amount of examples you did. Your response, David?
So first off, it's heartbreaking, all right? No matter what I say, it's not going to fix what happened to your family. It's not going to make it better. That being said, there are a couple things that we need to address here. First, we're not arguing for children using marijuana. I don't want that. I agree. People under 21 should not be using it, period.
It will
end of discussion.
Happen.
I think his point is it's going to happen.
I think it already does. But under the current system, if you're a drug dealer, right, and you sell to someone who's 6 years old, you know what the penalty is? It's the same as if you sold to someone who was 30 years old. Okay? So under the current system, there is no incentive.
You have a slightly advanced suggestion for a penalty. A deterrent might be.
I don't want to give people
the
death.
It's the penalty that they use in Micronesia, where drug dealers are executed, and if you're caught using drugs, you get a year of rehab, and if you use it again, you are executed. There is no drug problem in Malaysia, so it works. There has to be a penalty for use if it costs the society something. Now, if you lived in a society where it didn't matter, where you didn't have to fund things with government money, with tax money, that could be going to fix roads and building schools and all the other things that we need, I would agree with you. But no, look at our welfare rolls. We have a large percentage of the workforce on welfare when there are jobs aplenty, but they're unable to work in many cases because they're using illegal drugs, including marijuana.
All right.
So I think the notion that 95% of all people on disability and welfare are drug users is very dishonest. A lot of people on disability are people who are veterans from the military. That is a good portion of the people on disability in this country. They're veterans who got hurt fighting to help this country, first off. So I have family in the military. Very offensive to me that you're insinuating 95% of people on disability are drug users. Very offensive to me. Second off, the notion that the vast majority of people on welfare are drug users is probably inaccurate. The single largest group of recipients of welfare in this country are children. Okay? That's just a fact. because people who are on welfare tend to have multiple kids. So the largest recipients of welfare in this country are children. Lastly, I think it's absurd to say we should kill someone if they smoke pot twice in their life, which is what you're talking about. You said that if you use it the first time, a year in jail. You use it the second time, you should be put to death. Okay, this isn't Iran. This isn't Saudi Arabia. We don't stone people to death.
Dwayne, thanks for the call. And David, thanks for the time. Appreciate the debate. Look forward to more as you go through the process. Folks, see you tomorrow. What's on your mind? God bless you. Bye-bye.
For 2 years, you heard me talking about every day made better. I live it. In a hot spring spa from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Vince Webker, the owner, is here. So, Vince, I'm telling you, nobody should go through a winter like this without a hot tub, a sauna from Hot Spring Spas.
Well, nobody should go through life without a hot tub or a sauna. It actually makes you live better, possibly live longer. It corrects your wellness sins. You do things better by sitting in a hot tub or a sauna daily than you do without, because it does some stuff to the body that we could get into technically. But as I always say, it makes you physically better, mentally better, relationally better. To go through life without one, I think is tough, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we're 25% more stressed out this year than we were last year, and it's just a way of life. And this thing is a true blue stress reliever.
And great financing right now. 60 months, no interest. 5 years, and you don't make your first payment for 6 months. Plus 12 months, no interest, no payments. That's another option. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online at hotspringnd.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they were able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.